Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Awing, 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 awing
something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. Sleeping in my grave while he is
it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Turbo. Always looking for the turbo and the knights of the King, Shazam the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, this one's for real. The first go, I'm running a little bit extra music because I'm running a little bit extra late because I rolled over and hit the snooze button an extra few 10 or 15 times. And on the last go, I guess the snooze button just gave up and said, I'm taking the day off. You there, Steve?
I'm here. I'm free.
Yeah. Do you think that the computers ever get mad at you? Or clocks?
No, it's an inanimate object, my friend, but we do like to put human potential through everything, don't we?
Well, I figured after I hit the snooze button about 5 or 6 or 7 or maybe even 10 times, and then the last one, I guess there's only so many times you can hit the snooze button and then it just kind of gives up.
I do believe that they program into the circuitry if you hit it more than 3 times, you're not going to get up.
Yeah, and then I went in. Yeah, they probably did. Then I went in to get my coffee, you know. I only had 15 minutes to prepare for everything that I was going to do for the show or whatever. And I went in to get my coffee. Apparently, whoever made coffee last... They just don't make it to... it's terrible coffee.
Oh, I see. So you roll out of bed late, and then you're complaining that things aren't to your standards. So you're some piece of work you are, mate. I mean, would you like slave dial?
Oh, yeah. Well, but see, in the morning, you got to have that really good... I don't like the unleaded coffee. You got to have a good regular coffee. so that you know, it kind of gets you past that snooze button drama that you was going through. Right, so.
Did you know coffee's a diuretic that makes your vascular system contract?
So what's that mean for me in the morning?
It means all your blood vessels get thinner.
Oh, crud. That's probably why I've probably got low blood pressure, man. Maybe I got to lay out the coffee.
Well, you know, there's millions of ways to poison yourself, and coffee is probably one of the least dangerous.
All right, well, if I got to give up my coffee, I don't know where I'm going to go from there. I'll have to get me some Monster Energy drinks or something. Are you still
there? What's the topic of today, then, mate? I mean, what problems of the world are we going to set right in 3 hours or 2 hours or whatever?
Well... I'm not exactly sure because, you know, I usually get up at 2 hours ahead of time to check out the deal, so we're pretty much on the fly right there. So I'm going to jump over to look at the basic news there. And in the headlines out there so far, there really ain't nothing that jumps out at me. It's, you know, the free energy groups out there trying to work on a robot, I guess. And that's
right,
about
they've
it,
gone
dude.
Into Congress.
Huh?
They've gone into Congress.
Oh, yeah. Congress.
Well, they do tend to be programmed and automated at certain levels, don't they? I mean, stamp sign. The only thing they really worry about is if the check from the lobbyist bounces.
Yeah. Well,
not that I'm casting aspersions on the leader of the three worlds electoral body. So that just really would be bad, wouldn't it?
Can you hear a guitar?
No.
Oh, that's because you're running through Skype through a microphone, and this microphone that I got on my face isn't very good. But I'm sitting here.
I can hear it now, yeah.
I'm sitting here.
Are you going to sing? Shazis, I mean, getting up late, hitting the snooze button 3 times, and then playing guitar, that's just kind of getting a little bit too dodgy.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, and I'm contemplating on life. Today, all the kids are coming over for Father's Day. Which I think Father's Day might have been yesterday or something. But they're getting together to have a picnic. And so I guess I kind of got the guitar out to kind of get warmed up for all that, you know. And
okay.
So I'm sitting around here, half asleep, half awake, and I think I'll pick out a quick tune to see how terrible it sounds on the doggone Sam, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, while you were tuning out, I quickly looked up Father's Day United States on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And I'll just give it, I'll give you a quick 1 minute background to it while you get yourself ready. According to this, Father's Day is a celebration honouring fathers and celebrating fatherhood, paternal bonds and the influence of fathers in society. The tradition was said to be started from a memorial service held for a large group of men who died in a mining accident in Monaha, West Virginia, in 1907. It was first proposed by Sonora Dodd of Spokane, Washington, in 1909, and is currently celebrated in the United States annually on the third Sunday in June. So, I mean, there is a history behind it.
Well, you know, I never even knew that.
If we don't have leadership in society, then what do we have?
Well,
they do say that we keep making the same mistakes, and if we don't have people to advise us and guide us, not tell us what to do, but to show us what's gone before that hasn't worked, where do we end up? So fathers are very important.
When I think of the American dream, or any dream out there from any nation for that matter, I think of family. And I think about, you know, all the history. When I look back, and I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a picture on my desk next to a copy of the Constitution that is a picture of my grandpa in his army uniform from back from during World War One. And I can tell you stories that go all the way back from my childhood about my grandfather being the father figure in my life, and all those that came after, you know, uncles and stuff like that that you looked up to, and all the history of my life, you know. And I feel like me being a father myself was a really important thing in my life. It's the American dream to me. Is, you know, you got, you're a father, you got a wife and children and a home, and you just live life, man, and you make that bit of history, those memories that you recognize from whenever you were a child. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, me growing up, I didn't really have much of a father. I had a stepfather, and he did his best, but I mean, he was working on the All Week, so 6 months of the year he wasn't there. And 6 months of the year he was, but that's kind of tough on both sides of the coin, because you spend a month waiting for someone to come back, and then you spend another month waiting for him to go again.
Yeah, so I would. So I'm thinking maybe Father's Day was for all those good fathers out there. You know, I had the stepfather scene there too, so I understand where you're coming from on that.
But the point I'm trying to make is you play the cards that you dealt.
Yep.
There's no excuses. You get to the stage where you grow up and you have to make your own decision. And, you know, if you got poor leadership or good leadership when you were young, you've still got to use your own self-confidence and intellect to find the right path.
Yep. And that's why every time my kids get together, I kind of like try to, you know, make it a special event, you know. I'm always sitting there whenever everybody's kind of sitting around, they're bored before the actual barbecue gets started. Old dad will whip out the old guitar, and there's the other musicians in the family that once they hear that guitar start to perk up and stuff, you know. And so I'll start off strumming it like this, man.
Thank you.
That's all it takes, man. Just something simple like that, that's all it takes. And the party started. Is that crazy?
Well, at least you haven't got a banjo.
Yeah, good thing, because today I'd probably be yanking on playing that thing.
Well, I mean, fathers are important in society. They're kind of the leaders, their moral guidance. You know, if you end up in trouble, it's your father or your mother that's going to come and look after you. But generally it's your father, because a good father would have the inbuilt responsibility that he's responsible for his child's actions. And I think that's kind of fair.
And I look back and I think about my kids, man. Look back about the history of my children. You know, there's really something to be said about looking into your eyes of your little boy and your little girl. You're all grown up now, but I can remember every time I look at those kids, I still see them when they were little. I mean, to me, they'll always be that little boy and girl, you know? And I just feel so incredibly blessed that these little spirits came into my life, man. You know, where would I have been without that? Because I was a rowdy young man. If my children had come around when they did, and I probably would have been a little bit more wilder, you know? And I just... Of all the trials and tribulations that I've had throughout my entire life, all the, you know, having to try to keep your kids in line at school and try to keep them out of trouble and keep them safe, and it felt good to be that dad, you know, when they looked up at you like you were Superman, and it was cool, man. You know.
Well, I don't have any children myself, she says, but I get the label of the crazy uncle.
Hey,
so we got lots of nieces and nephews.
I tell you what, a lot of my uncles stepped in there where my biological father never was, you know, and they took me fishing and, you know, took me out to swap meets with them and stuff like that, you know, and auctions and so I got a lot of memories from my uncles, my Uncle Larry and my Uncle Lee, and I tell you, they're just such wonderful individuals, man. I love them to pieces, and it's more, they're more of an uncle, they're more than just an uncle to me, you know. There's so much history behind my family that you know, where one person wasn't there, the other person stepped in, and you know, they just kept the family thing going, and to me that was awesome, man. I just feel blessed, you know.
Well, your uncle is kind of the guy that you go and tell the stuff that you're too embarrassed to tell your dad about.
Oh yeah, well my Uncle Lee, he was the wild one of the bunch. He, you know, he was going to raise you up to be a man. You know, and
well, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of fathers that want to do good things for their children, and it's kind of a special day, and it's the start of the day. It's not very late. I mean, it's nearly 20 to 10 at night here in this part of Asia, which I won't mention that I'm currently residing in. But, I mean, what could a father do that would be special for Father's Day?
Well, I don't know, man. I'm just kind of like being there with my family and you know, playing the music and letting all my kids know how much I appreciate them. You know, because it's not just about, you know, it's called Father's Day, but it's not just about, you know, the dad, you know. It's not all about dad. It's about those kids. You know, kids, they need some sort of recognition too, you know. So I like to try to make my kids feel special on Father's Day, to let them know how much I love them. You know, of course, it's nice whenever they bring you a card or something like that, and Happy Father's Day, love you, Dad, that kind of stuff, you know, but I like to try to make them the center of attention, you know. Does that make any sense to you, Steve?
Oh, that kind of makes every part of the sense. I mean, if there's any kids out there that are just getting up, that are listening to it, you know, make your dad a decent cup of coffee.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe that's what...
If you hear that alarm going off in the bedroom, then just let him hit the snooze button. Today's not the day to be going in and jumping on the bed, lads. You're supposed to give your dad a bit of a lay-in. He'll get up later and he'll be much happier for it.
And if it was one of my grandbabies that made the coffee, it was tasty. It was the best coffee I ever had in my life, man. Oh, boy, that's just wonderful.
We're going to have to... How old are your grandchildren?
Let's see, one's, 8, no, wait a second, no, they ain't 8, I got it, 5,
Well, see, a 5-year-old should not be anywhere near boiling water.
5 or 6, I don't remember, no, they're still in preschool, so one is like 19 months, and the other one's, 5 years old. Somewhere close to
that. The 19-month-old probably couldn't lift a kettle, and the 5-year-old probably shouldn't.
All right, well, then I didn't have to worry about cracking on somebody, one of my grandchildren making the coffee, because they're probably still in bed. Maybe my daughter made it. I don't know.
But, I mean, what suitable activities are there for fathers on Father's Day that they can go and do? Obviously going to the local, you know, spearmint rhino and chucking dollar bills at some scantily clad lady wrapping themselves around a pole, probably not appropriate.
Yeah, but you can't take your grandchildren there.
You want a bet?
Oh, yeah, no.
I saw a few buggies outside of a place in Texas, mate.
Let's
get serious. I mean, we're on about Knights of the Round Table here. This is not so much mad science, but, you know, how the world works and how we can make it a better place. Because the Knights of the Round Table all sit around, they share their ideas, we consider it, you know, we try and sift the wheat from the chaff, if you like.
Yeah, I like to just say, you know, well, we talked about Father's Day and then move on, but what we talked about Father's Day, that's how you start making a better world, man. You started at home. You start making those bonds between your family as strong as you possibly can and taking care of them and watching out for all the warning signs of crazy stuff that your local school might be teaching your kids or different things that are going on in the world that would affect your kids later on down the line. Like, you know, there's all kinds of things in the news that are not in regular news, but in alternative media about different things that have to do with depleting the rights of the people and all that kind of stuff, you know, like such as that Trans-Pacific Partnership, you know, it's supposed to be some sort of trade bill, but it actually puts a whole lot of power in the corporate hands. And that's something that could, down the line, affect your children, you know. If you're born into slavery and you don't even know you're a slave, then maybe I guess that wouldn't be such a bad deal if everything was going along good and you're taken care of. But once a man has tasted freedom, you know, you recognize slavery. You recognize somebody taking away what you were born to have, you know, your freedom. All men out there are supposed to be born to be free, but you know, there's those folks in this world, we don't even have to go into conspiracy theories to even tell you about that kind of stuff. You've seen it. The reputation of the governments out there.
Well, Shaziz, God has a sense of humor, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have allowed us to create the IRS.
Oh, yeah, the IRS. Boy, I tell you, I can...
I mean, you talk about, you know, once you've had a taste of freedom... Well, the IRS, its entire purpose is to remind you that you need to pay somebody for the fact that you exist.
Yeah, I was out mowing my grass yesterday, and as I'm riding around and I'm mowing my grass, I got this conversation started up in my head, you know? You know, it's kind of like a waking dream or something. And I'm thinking about somebody.
What grass were you mowing?
Yeah, I got like 12 acres of land out there, and since the barbecue was going to be today, I needed to go out there and mow the front lawn enough for people to run around and have some fun, that kind of stuff. So I went out and mowed. But as I'm mowing the grass, I'm thinking about the land that I'm on. And I'm thinking about ownership of this land that I'm on. And I'm thinking about, you know, people paying taxes and stuff like that. You know, you buy your property over here and you get a deed of trust, and basically you're supposed to be the owner of this land, but there's always some sort of tax that'll come around or whatever every year that you have to pay on the thing. And then you got these different things that the government's pulling, trying to get people off of their own property or whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, this land doesn't even really belong to me. It belongs to my creator, you know. I'm just kind of like the caretaker, and I'm blessed to be able to use it. So I have all the authority in the world to use this property, you know. I got permission from the true owner. And
well, it's like they say in the Bible, it said that God made all men equal and gave us dominion over this land.
Yep.
But it doesn't say that they gave us dominion over each other.
Yep. You're right. And, you know, so what right
has...
You know,
I'm not a religiously inclined sort of person to this, but I see the wisdom in the text.
Well, and if at very least if that's all anybody takes away from it, that's not a bad thing, you know. The Ten Commandments, the good rules to live by, you know, regardless of all that stuff there, that, you know, we, from the time we're born, we start being indoctrinated from the time we're born all the way through the time we go through grade school, all the way up into junior high school, and it probably even gets even worse off into college, you know. And we're told all these things right there, but the basic simple of it was all this out here, all of us, you, me, and everybody else out here, just like I said, we're all created equal, and no man has a right to take anything from anybody. No man has a right to take another man's life, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that was actually one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. It didn't have no ifs, ands, or subsection B and article C and the fine print of micro print D or whatever. Just plain and simple said, thou shalt not kill. You know?
I shouldn't ask you why you joined the Navy then.
Well, yeah, that's a story in itself, you know. I have to get into that another date, but it's kind of ironic. You know, there's things that going on out there in this world that need to be paid attention to. You know, there is a headline out there. Dabu 077 puts out a lot of different news headlines. It's a video about ominous signs, millions of dead sea creatures blanket miles of California coast. Now, this isn't the only thing out there. There's a lot of mass die-offs of birds and animals and a lot of weird stuff going on in this world. And in my view, it actually follows in the text out there, you know, signs in the last days and that kind of stuff. But however you want to look at it, whether it be an environmental disaster or whatever, you know, they were talking about on yesterday that they were releasing genetically modified moths out into the farming community without people's knowledge or permission or anything. They just released them out there. Now, it's like chain reaction.
What is the purpose of genetically modified moths?
Well, they're supposed to be that when they breed, their babies will die off. They're supposed to be so that they can control the moth population.
And that really works with myxomatosis in rabbits in Australia, even though they knew it wouldn't work.
Well, my concern is this, you know, y'all are what you eat, right? To some extent.
Well, I don't eat moths.
Well, no, but what about the animals that normally prey on moths, you know? And
swallows, swifts, mostly bird life, a few rodents.
Could it be that could actually start a chain reaction in the natural world, that when somebody eats that moth basically kind of genetically modifies the bird, in which the bird starts to have the babies die off whenever they're trying to be born or hatched or whatever, and you know, on down the line like that. I don't know, but all I can say is you shouldn't be tampering with nature, and there's a whole lot of tampering with nature going on these days.
Well, there's a good point there, Shaziz, that if scientists truly understood the DNA chain, the RNA, the DNA, all of the various different iterations that they've come up with, then people wouldn't be dying of cancer. And the fact that they are means that they don't. So if you're going to play Russian roulette with nature, you know, you're kind of crazy. I don't care how much money you're making. I don't care how clever or important you are. I don't care how many people have sat around and decided that you've managed to regurgitate their opinion in a slightly unique enough form to give you a piece of paper that says, we agree that you're smart. We don't need people messing with nature.
Yesterday during the Mad Science Show, we talked about water purification, and there's another headline out there. EPA will start to monitor families' water use in Colorado. Once again, it's back to the...
Why would they do that?
I don't know. Maybe they're going to put a smart meter on your water spigot or something like that.
Well, they're kind of doing that everywhere, as we took Blue Gold yesterday.
Yeah.
Why do they need to monitor people's water usage?
Well,
when you look at statistical information for most places around the world, the population only uses about 25% of the fresh water that's purified, and large corporations use the majority of it. Look at Coca-Cola. How many billions of gallons or litres or pints or whatever you want to call it do they produce of their drink every year?
Oh, yeah. All
around the world.
Not to mention they selling out water to people.
Us. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to penalise us so corporations can get a bigger share of the profits. This is the question I ask. Whether it's accurate or correct or not, I don't know. Because
well,
they do not release the information upon request.
It's my understanding from all the research that I've done for the last many, many years, whenever I started looking into the conspiracy world and everything that was going on out there in this world, that there are many, many companies out there that are presently, to this date, messing around with the weather. They advertise that they can make it rain where it doesn't rain, and so on and so forth. And so, thus forth, the chemtrails that people have been seeing. But the problem about this thing is, they said that it was like 160-some-odd square miles that they could affect with every spraying, right? And so, if they spray over in my city, then it's going to affect somebody over in their city. And so you'd be moving nature's water from this point to that point. Like, for instance, California's supposedly going through a drought. We're going through a wet cycle that I have never seen before in my life. I mean, it's been raining for like the last 2-3 months. And luckily, I'm on a elevation to where I'm not on the flood zone or anything like that. So, you know, I'm not getting flooded out, but everything is just soggy, man. I mean, with the gardens out there, the water, you know, there is such thing as getting too much water to your plants. And so the gardens aren't doing so well because they're overwatered, you know. They're standing in pretty much a swamp.
I lived in the Republic of Ireland for 15 years. A leap year just meant you got 366 days of rain.
Well, you know, I'm just basically what I'm trying to say is, you know, we get called nutcase, tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists because you know, of weather modification and stuff like that. All right, and we've been called this for years that nobody's out there weather modifying. That you're just a paranoid whatever, you know, and so. No, go on. I'm trying to get to there.
I've got 35mm photographs I took in the early 80s when I was a kid.
I'm trying to add Thomas Anderson in here.
And I kind of liked taking pictures of the sky. And there was no tic-tac-toes cross-sections in the sky in the early 80s. But there is now. And when you've got people like the BBC producing articles and documents within the news and various different media talking about climate change, weather modification. You know, two and two makes four, not five. They've openly announced and admitted that they are interfering with the weather patterns of the planet. And the problem with the mathematical models that they're using is they don't understand enough.
Well, like I said, they're saying that on one hand they're saying that they don't do this stuff, but then on the other hand there's companies out there advertising that they do this stuff. And so they're tampering around with nature. They're in California complaining about a drought. We went through the whole water deal, you know, and yesterday. But, you know, we got things going out there like biometric alerts, school lunch programs, scan students' thumbprints for tracking purposes. And I know for a fact...
For what reason?
Well, they had this program called HIP, HEPA or something like that. How HIP are you, right? Was basically some sort of health or whatever. But they were actually drawing blood from the kids at school. And, I'll tell you what. When they came home, my kids come home with this doggone paper that asks for you to sign this paper for the kids to have their blood tested in school. I went ballistic, man. I send my kids to school for an education. If I'm going to take my kids to the doctor, I'll take them to the doctor. That is not the school's deal.
Yeah, but Shaziz, haven't you learned at this stage that you're not responsible for your children, the government is?
Well, I found out later on, after it was too late to really do much about it, I found out later on that even though I didn't allow them to draw blood from my children at school, that they were they have them exercise, they take their blood pressure and do all this other stuff, and you know, it's kind of like going to school and taking a physical, essentially what it was. And well, I tell you what, I was hotter than a firecracker, you know. Like I said, I send my kids to school for an education. I don't send my kids to school for them to play doctor. You know what I mean?
As I said to you this, the government has a greater responsibility over your creation than you do, because you can't be trusted.
Well, that's the problem. The doggone government thinks the government's going to have the better ideas, but we've seen the doggone track record of the government. I mean... Everything the government gets a hold of, it breaks.
Well, I mean, look at the historical records of births. Well, way back in the creation of the state, I mean, 1700s, 1800s, when a child was born, their name was entered into the family Bible. Now, if you pitched up to your local welfare centre, like the social benefits centre, with your Bible and said, "There's my ID," they'd laugh their face off.
Yeah.
Because the government haven't approved it. But for several hundred years, that was more than adequate enough. But the government doesn't own your family Bible, but they do own their documentation.
Okay,
On my own birth certificate from the United Kingdom, it clearly states this is not a form of identification.
So on one hand, you're a conspiracy nut if you talk about a one world government trying to be done. But on the other hand, there's all these different deals out there, such as even having to have a birth certificate to begin with, or a marriage license, or whatever. You know, it's all about control. Every bit of it, it's all about control. Your social security number, back whenever it first came around, had a little red deal on the back that said not to be used for identification purposes. And not anymore, man. That thing's attached to everything from criminal record to school records to medical records and so on and so forth, you know. And people just need to pay attention, man. They need to watch and know what the heck is going on out there. Know what the government's peeking in on you and what they're not. You know?
Well, you know what's a lot older than the TTA and the TTP and all this, right? The stuff. It's the TTD. And that's been going on since the creation of the concept of like a, as you said, what was it? The social number.
Social Security.
Social Security.
Yeah.
That's TTD. It's called Track, Trace, and Database.
Well, what's the purpose of tracking people if you ain't going to be using that information for some sort of control mechanism? Okay, it's all for your safety. That's when you know you're in trouble. When the government comes out and says it's all for your safety, it's all for your best interest. All right, you know, that sounds conspiratorial, don't it? You know, because I say that you can always trust your government.
Well, think about it, mate. IBM developed the Hollerith machine, and it kind of worked for the Nazis because they managed to move millions of people to Poland to holiday camp.
How well did that go?
Well, that's my point.
Yeah. Hey, we got Thomas Anderson in here. Are you there, yeah, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Hey, well, feel free to jump in and, you know, take the foot out of my mouth anytime you like, mate.
Hey, I'm not the one talking, man. You only put your foot in your mouth if your mouth's flapping. Yeah, if your mouth's open.
You got to come a little closer to your microphone there, brother.
I do take a breath occasionally.
Well, like I said, man, I woke up this morning, dropped the snooze button a few times, too many, and I overslept, and I had like 15 minutes to prepare for the whole deal. So I didn't even have any news headlines to even work with for a starting point here, sitting around the round table. But, you know, Cambodia is going to start using rats to sniff out bombs. There's an interesting... So you got rats that are planting the bombs, and then you got rats sniffing out the bombs. That's a great deal.
Well, I don't think you have anything to worry about until they can actually have the rats pick a person out of a lineup.
Oh, well, I can bet they're going to give that a shot, too, man. They were talking about using everything from tattoos to whatever for biometrics, you know.
I think I'd be more worried about the fact that Yang Dan, this... scientists had basically found a way to decode the signals in the brain by hooking up wires into a cat's brain, showing them images, and then reconstruct it to be able to see the image from the brain signals.
I remember seeing a brief documentary on that. That's creepy, man.
1999.
Yep.
Where are they at with that now?
Shoot, man, it's hard to say, but you know, it's all about they got to get inside your brain, they got to get inside your wallet, they got to get inside your house. Yesterday was a headline that come out talking about how Google's tapping into your microphone, and when they got caught doing it, they don't really care. It's like shrugging it off like no big deal. I mean, we already know.
Yeah, the CEO of Google already said, we like to push the line, you know, push until we hit right up to the line of creepy. So we don't cross the line of creepy, like, you know, we wouldn't implanting a chip in your brain so that somebody could read your thoughts. That would be creepy until the tech is developed.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is basically they will act like it's creepy because they don't have the ability to do it yet.
Well,
once they have the ability, they're going to push every way they can to basically make it okay for them to use it.
I'll tell you what's even more creepy than that is that there are actually people out there who will buy into the whole transhumanism and basically accept this as because, oh, look, I'm going to be a cyborg, you know, I'm going to be a godlike with superpowers kind of thing, you know. But where is the line between you being you and human and you being something that isn't, you know, some sort of abomination or something, man? You've seen all the movies.
Yeah, I think you're still pushing, though, for a belief that there's a soul or something. And the people who are really that far into that don't believe that there is anything, such thing as a soul, that you're just a collection of data, and as long as you can save that data in the brain, then that's still you.
Well, I'm a kind of thinking like this. Those individuals who believe that might just very well regret that decision whenever they get that thing in their head, and then things start to come around to where they're actually feeling the digital bars, encase them, like, you know, being in prison, you could only go so far, you only got a 8x8 cell or whatever, that's all you can go. And when you're in this digital prison that is now that microchip that's in your brain, how far can you go before the government has somebody on a computer saying, you can't say this, so we're going to have to stop you over here. Wait, you can't do this over here, so we're going to have to stop you over here. You see what I'm saying? The government's not going to allow you to be a superhuman and be able to tap into...
Well, here's the thing, man. Not being allowed to do things isn't the scary part.
Being able?
Your brain, what about the things that they make you do?
Well, yeah, there's another thing, too.
You're going to do it. Oh, and by the way, you're going to act like you acted alone, but we're going to be the one controlling you from behind the scenes.
And when will it be the case that your memories are really your memories? I mean, digital manipulation. What if you go to court and they pretty much set you up for something, and they tell you that you committed murder, and you don't think you committed murder, but your memories are telling you that, yeah, you did commit murder. And maybe you did, but you didn't. But then it's a conundrum, because you don't know whether you did or didn't. Because you lost touch with reality. Yeah.
Isn't it much easier to give explosives to somebody with learning difficulties, show them how to build it, supply them with the materials, than arrest him when he goes to blow something up?
Well, yeah, then you look like the superhero. Problem, reaction, solution, I believe they call it.
I do believe that has actually been a frequent occurrence in many areas of the planet recently.
Well,
people that are kind of not really intelligent enough to be dangerous on any level are supplied the knowledge and the materials to become dangerous. And then somebody suddenly gets a nice career boost because they've busted them for it.
When do we get past this point of being lab rats? I mean, it's implied consent is what they use to test on us all the time. Like this deal that I said, I've been hearing about how these companies out there are actually tampering with the weather. You know, cloud seeding isn't something new. It's been going on for way back when they were crop dusting, trying to get, using silver iodine to put in the cloud. So, you know, it's not beyond the realms of science. And we know that you can energize gas with certain high-frequency waves and even low-frequency waves. You can actually energize gas. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that a deal like HARP could be functioning and bouncing energy off the ionosphere, or using radar or whatever to do certain things. It's science fact, you know. It sounds like science fiction to the average Joe that doesn't understand the basic science of it, but it's science fact. You can cause the weather to do certain things by changing temperatures or whatever. But...
Well, Shaziz, I heard that they pulled the shutters down on the HARP facility, so it's all okay now. But if I close my curtains in my home, does that mean I'm not there anymore?
Well, maybe. If a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to get hit by it or hear it.
Yeah. But, I mean, do they really think we're that stupid?
Apparently they do, man.
Down and that's it.
Apparently they do.
Everything's closed.
And they're going to fix that stupid part of us, because they're going to get these nifty little microchips that they can put in your brain to give you more storage power and stuff, you know. Super soldiers and such, right? Well, what happens when the super soldier... What happens when the super soldier decides to step out of line or decides, or becomes non-useful anymore? What do? Do they just turn off the chip and make him stupid again, or what?
Well, that doesn't really seem to be the way they do it. They like to send lots of people with very big guns out to chase them down and then obliterate them.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like...
I'm sure at some point they'll make it so that basically once you go too far into their programs, if they haven't already done it, there's no return. You're permanently... I mean, if you join the military, you're already pretty much permanently part of their property as it is.
So basically, you're walking around for the rest of your life with an axe over your head. That if you get out of line, then they shut your.
That's what I'm saying. You're already walking around with an axe over your head if you join the military at any point in your life, anyway.
Yeah.
Hell, just being born in the United States, you're pretty much kept walking around with a tag on your head the whole time, anyway. You know that if you want to leave the country, like exit your citizenship here, give it up, you wanted to sell your property off, you and your family were going to move to another country, and you were going to become a patriot of that country, a citizen of that country, and you wanted to remove your citizenship here, you have to make sure all of your debts are paid, and then you have to pay them several thousand dollars to let you go.
Yeah, that's it, too. And
you can't just sign a document that says, I'm no longer a citizen of the United States. F you to the government. Thank you to the new government you've decided to join and become a citizen to them. Because at some point, when they get desperate for money, they're going to start going after people who have done that because they still hold paperwork that they say makes it okay for them to still come and tax you for your income, well, and demand payment for all of the income you earned at the other country when you thought you were just a citizen of that country. No, you're still a citizen with us.
There's also
so you still owe us, too.
There's also something to add to what you're talking about, which is a national debt where they say that every single person in the in the United States owes a bit of this national debt. And I think the last time I heard that it was like around about $50,000 per individual in the United States.
It's ridiculous.
So you're born into debt.
Yes. And the people before you who voted for all these ridiculous things to be done, like super roads and whatnot, put you into debt, got to use the road, and now for you to keep using the road, you got to put your children into debt by letting them further the taxes into the future so that they can fix the roads just so you can use it. Because it's already falling apart by the time it comes around for you to start paying for it.
What a mess.
The part of Asia that I'm living in that I don't like to mention because I don't fancy getting deported. There's quite a few Americans out here working in the financial industry and businesses at various different levels. And it's not the only country in the world that does it, but they're required to pay tax here and in their home country. Now, what is the logic of that?
Well, what's the logic of making somebody pay for a fund that's going to be there to take care of them whenever they're too old to take care of themselves or something else goes wrong, and then turn around and dip into that and take it and say that basically those people are now, they're taking funds from you. When actually the money that they're saying that is owed to them for doing the stuff that they did was actually money that you were setting aside for, you know, your calamities and your old age. That's what they've done with the SSI here. What's the Social Security? They went and dipped into it, and then they complained saying that the Social Security fund, that the money they have to put into Social Security is draining the, raising the cost of running the government, and they need to cut it off.
Well, they did that in Ireland as well. The public pension reserves were around about 15 billion, and they took that and they gave it to banks who created the problem in the first place. And then they told the people that were
saying... Sounds like 2008 here.
Yeah. It was at the same time. Mm-hmm. These people make money up out of thin air. It's not really based on anything. A mortgage...
That's just it. You can make something imaginary out of thin air anyway. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's no basis for any of that. If you go to a country where their money is salt, they have money that's actually holding more intrinsic value than any money within any of the fiat systems out there, because that paper ain't worth as much as salt. And that's all the intrinsic value of the paper is. Paper.
Didn't the Native Americans say when they sold Manhattan Island for some beans and stuff that these people won't realize that until the point comes where there's no fish left in the river you know, there's no game left on the land that you can't eat paper.
Well, they didn't sell it. Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't sell it for paper, though. They sold it for, like, beads and stuff. And they looked at they're basically paying them to move their tribe so that they could have that area. Because they were going to move anyway at some point in order to let the land repropagate, and they figure, well, they're going to move in here and they're going to use what's left before they have to move, so it's already partially depleted. So at some point, they're going to have to move now. And they're giving us these trinkets that basically we can use, because, you know, we like these things, for, you know, already partially soiled land that, you know, like I said, that you're not going to get full use out of. And, you know, it's like basically giving some, the way they saw it was, you know, it'd be like basically somebody gives you a car, right? Or you find cars, there are cars everywhere, right? And every now and then you find a brand new car. Like the car, basically, if you leave it sitting long enough and nobody touches it, it comes back new. Okay? And you just go around and find a car that no one's used for a while, so you have a new car. And you use that car until it's about halfway used, and you're about to, you know, you're halfway ready to leave it because it's starting to kind of get dilapidated a little bit, and somebody comes around and decides to offer you money for that car. And you're like, well, sure, you know, I'll go find another, you know, like new car. You can have this used one if you really want mine, you know. They didn't see the concept of, we're going to draw a paper that says that this land belongs to us, and we're going to draw up some more paper that we're going to give to other people and make some tools to give to those people so that if somebody comes and tries to take that land from us, they're going to shoot them and kill them. They never saw the concept that you could own the land, because to them, you belong to the land. You came out of the dirt. You will go back into the dirt. The planet, to them, was the mother. And you can't own your mom. You know?
Well, I think there's some of those elite out there that would give it a shot.
Well, this is the point I'm trying to get to, is who do we belong to? Why are we being charged for our existence by people that don't represent us and continuously lie to us? And why do we keep doing it?
Well, I think for more insight and answer on what you just described there, you should probably watch this show by a guy named Ross called The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
That's in it. I understand exactly what's going on.
Ross,
I just don't. There's so many people
Ashcroft.
That support it, but it's...
Right. Ross Ashcroft of the put it out in 2012. In fact, there's copies of it on YouTube. You can go and watch the whole thing.
It's a very good watch, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not saying this just solely for your purpose. I mean, we're on the air, so this is obviously for everybody's purpose, for everybody's use. If you can, Shazuz, I guess, because I don't have the page open.
Yeah.
Grab this and drop them into the super chat so they can go and watch that if they want. Because that really gives not only what's going on, but a psychology of how we got here. What's really led us to this point. And what we have to do as human beings to change ourselves so that we can change the dynamic and the problem that we have right now. Because we have to evolve.
I'm under no illusion of what's going on, mate. I worked in medical billing systems for a decade for a Fortune 500 company. And I saw the scams that were going on there between banks, financial companies,
right,
billing agents.
Right, but you understand really fully why the scandals are happening. What allows
mostly
them
because people let it happen.
No. Why do they let it happen? That's what I'm talking about. What is it about the average Joe or average Jane that allows them, that causes them to allow this perpetuation of what's going on? You see
because
what I mean?
They're not sociopaths, they're not psychopaths, and they actually value their fellow man. But the people in leadership do not. They see us as assets.
What else is different, though? See, that's just it. You don't have to give up your humanity to shut this system down. If the human race woke up today and educated themselves on what was going on, there are a couple things, once they knew what was going on, that they would have to change within themselves so that they could then act on the problem in a manner that resolve the problem and create a solution for it. I mean, we could stop right now if we could get everybody to seriously push forward to make the change so that all taxes were based on usage. You no longer used income generation to generate a tax quotient. Instead, you basically, like, if you earn $10,000 a day, but you only go out and you only spend like $200 or $300 a day driving around and doing stuff, that means you're not really using any of the resources you're paying taxes into from all that money. So you switch it from having to pay when you get your paycheck to only paying whenever you're using the paycheck. When you go out and you drive, you're buying gas. Right now, that's a known. If you're getting around, there's only a few people, really, comparatively, that can get around without using gasoline and still be able to drive. So collecting taxes on fuel is more than enough money to fix the roads. So why are we being taxed just to work? Why not just tax us when we use the money that does the damage to the things that the taxes are supposed to be going towards? You get taxed coming and you get taxed going. As if you're an average person living in America and many other countries, you're getting taxed even more. I mean, we only just started because Spain got away with it for taxing people to collect sunshine and save it as power.
I brought that up a few years ago where they claim that the Spanish government owns the sun.
Well, and I don't know about the ownership of the sun or anything like that. All I know is that here the excuse is you're still connected to the system, and therefore you're putting a burden on the system, so we have to charge you extra for putting that burden on the system. Now we're not just going to charge you for the electricity you use, but if you generate power, we're going to charge you to store it while you're not using it. And we're going to charge you so heavily, that when you get your bill and you look and you see that you've actually made more electricity than you used, it's going to more than make up for the difference, and we're not going to have to pay you a nickel for any of that electricity we just took and gave to someone else.
What's quite common in Europe, Tom, is what they call a standing charge or a residual fee. You have X amount of your bill, which is specifically and directly designed to pay for the upkeep, maintenance and infrastructure that you're using, such as your phone line or your electricity bill. You have to pay in the Republic of Ireland about €30 a month just to have a phone line, even if you don't use it. Mm. And they claim that this is there to pay for the upkeep, maintenance and production of telephony services. But we're kind of saying to them, well, what's the point? If I just want to use the internet and say use Skype like we are now, why do I need to give you €30 a month for a phone line I don't want and I don't want to use?
Right, especially if your internet's coming from like a cable company that you're paying another separate bill for.
Does anybody besides me figure out that this world that we live in, the complexity of it is just so above board and beyond control that it's just... you got different factions in this world attempting to keep control over the people. People wanting to have continuity of government. You got government agencies out there doing all kinds of black ops projects. You got the military running around doing massive drills for who knows what. Conspiracy theories running amok and all the different things that are going on in the world, biblical signs, if whatever you believe or whatever, you know, that millions of dead crabs floating up on California shores and stuff like that, you know, fish dying off, Fukushima radiation, solar cycles, earthquakes and volcanoes and everything. Does anybody besides me think that something's wrong with everything? I mean, is it just me, or is this world, like, seriously out of whack?
Was it all along, though? I mean, it's been out of whack for so long, the internet's just making us more aware of it than before, because now you can find out about this stuff without having to trust your local media. you're worried about trusting your local government. Shoot, you got to trusting your government. You got to worry about trusting your media too, because you know they would never lie to you. They would never hide the facts from you.
Them,
you know,
communist, no good for nothing, propagandizing knuckleheads that they call
man. See, that's the problem right there, man. The media likes to label things, and they found that if they label things, they can get people really worked up. They cause an emotional stir. It doesn't matter that they just made them mad at somebody they don't even know. All they care about is the person is now agitated, and that's what people are paying for when they watch their advertisements in between those news breaks, is to be worked up emotionally.
So
they're being paid. They're being worked up with all these labels that create division. Communist versus communist. You know, dirty commie versus capitalist pig. You know, white versus black.
I'm kind of hearing you say something like the whole world, nothing's new in the world. It's all been going wrong all along. It's just they put it out there for dramatic reasons to sell more advertising space. It's kind of like,
right. And I will say some of it is worse now, but that's also partially because of the internet too. Because it gives us, as human beings, more power to poke at each other. You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, people getting shot and stabbed over, you know, status updates and stuff.
Yikes.
That wouldn't happen if you didn't have, you know, status updates. But then again, people have gotten killed over arguments over the phone. And without a phone, that argument would have never happened. It would have taken weeks, if not months, for it to happen using letters. You know?
Well, maybe we all should go join the Amish communities, because they don't do all this internet stuff.
Well, and they have their own problems, too.
It's kind of brave to send armed SWAT teams to the Amish because they sell unpasteurized milk. A nation dedicated against non-violence. You need your guns, boys. You need your guns. I was going to say, I used to watch American wrestling back in the 80s on cable when it first came to the UK. And I have to say that I was kind of grateful really recently, because I had a quick look at it on the internet. And if it wasn't for the WWE, I wouldn't know which countries America currently hates.
Would you know about the countries that hate America, though?
Huge dissident extraction covert exercise caught in Tennessee.
Whatever, mate. I mean, you've got this whole social drama going on with wrestling, and it's very much like the Colosseum in Rome. You know, the masses wanted this.
Oh, yeah. They talked about that in the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It's not just the WWE. It's, you know, even bigger is the NFL. Football, you know. Yeah. American football has become the gladiatorial thing, because you can get killed out there fairly easily.
Well, a 250-pound man that can do, 100 meters in 10 seconds. So that's like being hit by a Mack truck, isn't it?
Right. Well, and you think about it, the cladding that they wear makes them brittle. That's why you reach up while you're in on the field and grab another player's helmet by that grill in the front, and I mean, all you gotta do is just touch it like you're gonna grab it, and you're out of the NFL for good.
Wow, you mean
because
that's not legal?
Takes a tiny bit of movement and you snap their neck. You know. So what happens if they land on that helmet while they're sliding over a pile of their fellow players? At enough of an angle, with all about 250 pounds coming down on their neck, they can't bend but one place, and that's where the helmet separates from the pads.
So blackjacks and brass knuckles aren't legal in the NFL?
You know, I would have more respect for them if they had actual weapons and did real combat on there and just admitted what it was. Just admit what it is, man. And screw the football. You got two teams. Whichever team has a guy still standing when it's over is the winner. You know,
man.
It may make it the NFD or NDL, the National Derby League. You know, like the Demolition Derby. You know.
So if they want to win, all they got to do is put some wiry, skinny, scrappy-looking guy like me inside there, and I'll be like dodging, ducking, and weaving, and jumping over people, and running around, and staying away from all these 250-pound gorillas, so that at the end, the only one to be standing is the guy hanging onto the goalpost to keep away from everybody.
There was a recent argument in the world of rugby about giving people better protection, and they argued against it on the sense that if we give these people body armour, they're going to hit each other harder.
Wow.
Yep. But all the time there's a certain amount of risk, they're going to be more careful.
Right. Well, so anytime you get out there and do something physical, there's a chance, there's a risk. I mean, you cross the street, there's a risk, you know?
So, to sum it all up, what does all this have to do with the world in general, man? I mean,
Well, that's one of the things that they use to keep everybody placated while they're sitting. They don't get violent because they're too busy watching the violence of the NFL or the WWF.
So, basically, the majority of the people are out there living their life vicariously through TVs, yes, and movies and radio, and they're not getting out there experience life themselves. So, you've already got the zombie apocalypse going on, man.
And no, what we have are the last days of Rome. These things are all things that they did during almost every empire's fall before.
You know what they said in the good book? It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Yeah, you can call it what you want, but if Pete and Repeat were in a boat and Pete fell out, who'd be left? It looks like society is going down the same exact path that we've done so many times before mm-hmm. World War I, World War II, World War III, the Vietnam conflict, the Korean War, Afghanistan, Iraq, all of this stuff that we have seen in the past.
The sacking of Rome by the Visigoths.
Yep. It's all...
Which it is.
Yeah.
You hit the nail right on the head there. I mean, one of my favorite quotes, I suppose, is, do I want to live my life vicariously through the achievements of others? Or do I want to experience and create something new and original myself? And it seems that a lot of these gladiatorial sports, because you've got anywhere between 20 to 100,000 people in the stadium, where you've got one half screaming for one team, and you've got the other half screaming for the other team, and depending on who wins, depends on what kind of society you go back to live in. I mean, New Zealand is famous for the fact that if the All Black rugby team lose, you get a new government. That's kind of insane. No, I'm serious.
No, I believe you. I seriously believe you. I'm just laughing because of the craziness of the whole situation. It's like whenever the doggone college kids, one team wins, they tear up their own town in celebration. In celebration, you turn upside down people's cars and start fires in the street and all that kind of stuff there. It kind of sounds like the whole Roman gladiator times, you know?
Do you want to live your life vicariously through the achievements of others, or do you really want to go forwards and create your own success?
Everybody's all because their team won. We won. We won. Well, no, you didn't win. That team did.
Yeah. You played no role in that success whatsoever.
Well, you did. You funded their salary by buying the ticket.
Yeah.
After
the Colosseum in Rome wasn't free either. You had to pay to get in.
So what?
That's like saying that gold that's mined at a gold mine is yours, even though all you did was pay for a ticket to come and watch them dig the last bit of it out of the ground.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
So
isn't that kind of like basically saying I own all these cars when actually you're the valet at a hotel?
Yeah, kind of, because you get to drive them, don't you? You get to drive them. I mean, you don't have to pay the road taxes, you don't have to pay for the insurance, you don't have to worry too much about the licensing or fees or petrol or anything else. You get to drive them for free and people give you money for it. So being a valet isn't a bad thing.
Well, Well, being a valet though, and being a DJ are very close to the same.
All right, guys.
It's like somebody else earns the card, but you claim that it's yours. That's what DJs do. They claim that they're musicians because they're playing somebody else's music.
Here's what I've ascertained from everything that we've learned with the control of the government, the gladiator system, living vicariously through sports, and so on and so forth. The elite of the world have cornered the market on stupid. They have figured out a way in which they can use stupid to their advantage to get millions and millions of dollars in their pocket so that they can live high on the hog while everybody else is running around like chickens with their head cut, bouncing off the walls, and doing all kinds of craziness. Now that there are some of the chickens out there who's kind of stepped back and caught their breath and is watching everybody bouncing off the walls and saying, "Hey, wait a second, this is ignorant. Why are we doing this? Let's all get over that fence and get up out of here, you know."
Chicken run.
There you go. We got a version of Chicken Run going on right now with the people out there that have common sense or have woken up to the reality that this is ignorant, and the people up there at the top, they keep stirring the pot, like such as, wait a second, these guys are starting to get together down here. You know, we can't have this. Start a riot down in that little section over there and get the black man and the white man to fighting against each other for a while. And then we'll
get everybody mad at the police, so that basically the police, since they have guns, will have to go around and shoot a bunch of them. They'll have something else to worry about for a while.
Job security, man. And while they're doing this over there, we'll pass these regulations over here, so if anybody else tries to step out of line, we can get them too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that they don't like throwing people in prison, you're crazy, because they make money. There is an actual industry out there, and it's a private industry. They get a lot of money per person that they can keep inside
that
prison.
It's got more money and more people than that are in schools.
Yeah. And it's an industry.
Can I point you to a statement that George W. Senior made way, way back in the day?
Yeah, what did he say?
It basically said, if we don't have enough prison places for the people that commit crimes, we will build them. And what's happened?
Yeah, they build them.
They built.
They're turning old Walmarts into them.
They've actually turned it over to the hands of private companies to manage it.
So what happens one day when you go to Walmart to do a little bit of shopping and they tell you that you can't leave? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Kind of sound like Twilight Zone, don't it?
They don't want to lock up the guy that I grew up with because he's too violent. And to be perfectly honest, they don't want him in prison because he's too much effort. So they'll leave a violent, psychopathic lunatic on the streets and take some 16-year-old that was smoking a bit of herbal and lock him up for 5 years. Because, you know, they're kind of, they're easy to manage, you know. They're not career criminals. They're not extremely violent.
No, what they do is they'll turn around and give the violent guy a job, give him a gun and a badge.
They make him a prison warder.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
You hit on a key there, Thomas. Thomas, you hit on a key there. You know, who do you think that they would rather hire? Somebody who has a clean record or somebody who has a shady past before they do the hiring? For one, the guy that has the clean record is going to want to try to keep his record clean. And he's probably more likely to do something out of the ordinary, right or wrong, unless somebody has something to hold over his head.
I think we hit a tipping point since they didn't get rid of somebody who was doing the nasty with somebody that they weren't married to, and they haven't gone after and fired somebody who was a president that actually ducked out on his him being basically enlisted, not showing up for duty and going AWOL. So what does it matter at this point in the general populace's mind if you've got child molesters and rapists and murderers and, you know, mobsters in the on the police force and, you know, in the governor's position and whatnot?
Well, the folks
at the BBC in England,
the folks that have skeletons in their closet, most generally don't want their skeletons coming out of their closet because it's bad for business. So if you're a politician and you get elected in, which I ain't never seen a poor man get elected to office. There may not be, but either way, if you get elected to office,
it's not a commonality.
Yeah, if you get elected to office and you got skeletons in your closet, you don't want them skeletons getting out. And these guys have some funds that they can afford private investigators to research everything into your past that they can possibly find. Why do you think it is whenever you go to apply for any kind of government job or anything like that they look into your background? It's not because they want to make sure that you're not a crook. They want to make sure that they got something to hold over your head in case you find out something that they don't want nobody to know. They'll come in there and say, looky here, you keep your mouth shut or we put all this to light and then you're going to go to jail for this over here because you signed this agreement saying that you would disclose everything in your past and you didn't. So you keep your mouth shut or we're going to put you in jail and ruin your life.
Yep.
Does that sound like the system?
Laws made not to keep people safe, but rather made to turn them into criminals.
Yeah. You know,
and it could be something completely innocuous too that they're guilty of. That it really under common natural law, there should never have been a law against it. Like he was talking about smoking a little bit of herb, you know.
I don't know about you guys, but all the politicians over here in Canada have either been quitting or they're ratting on each other. That's what's been going on.
Yeah, but at least they admit aliens exist.
Well, I was going to say, you're talking about basically there's nothing wrong with with the government. It's just that guy or that guy or that guy or that guy. You know, they point a couple of them out and let them take the fall. No one questions that maybe the reason why these guys are doing something wrong is because the system that they're in is wrong. The whole system is wrong.
I've got a couple of quotes here from my private email list, and they're kind of funny. How many people knew they needed a cell phone before it was invented? How many people knew they needed an iPad before Apple produced it?
There were those of us that wanted to have walkie-talkies that we could talk to people around the world on.
Oh, yeah, it was called ham radio. But how many cell phone users knew they needed an iPhone before Apple produced it?
Hey, how many people actually believed that electricity was going to become a staple and a requirement for standard living when it first came out? They only ran it for a few hours a day, and he said, this is a fad. It'll pass. nobody wants this crap. Nobody cares about electricity. What? Electricity? Come on, man. You can't cook no food with it. All it does is run a few lights, man.
Yeah, I read an article in 1963 from the chief economist that believed every town by the 1980s would have its own computer.
Well, yes.
And it would be four times as large and 10 times as expensive as what they have now.
Oh, yeah.
To talk about order out of chaos, I mean, when's the order going to start? Because the chaos is already out there, man. I'm hearing and seeing it all, man. It's crazy. And like I said, the people up at the top of the game there, they figured out how to monopolize on stupid. They figured out how to take somebody's lack of knowledge and turn it into a dollar bill. Such as, for example, the internet itself. If anybody out there ain't aware of it by now, the internet is one giant, massive ad campaign. And when you go to get this nifty little software on your computer, it will have a agreement, a user's agreement. And how many people actually get in there and read that user's agreement that says that companies are going to track your internet use and
they don't say that, man. They never talk about tracking your internet use. They say if you're going to use this software, you have to okay us to install this other little piece of software on your system that will help you.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Your journey through the internet.
Anytime
it will help you.
Anytime somebody says this is all for your best interest or for help for you, that's when you should head the other direction.
Yep. Just like if somebody says, trust me, they actually have to voice the action of trusting them. You know you can't trust them.
Yeah.
Watches this. When you've got the Ten Commandments brought down from the Mount Sinai, there should have been an 11th one.
What's
the
11th
which
one?
Which was, the wisdom of God, there is no such thing as a free lunch.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, I talk about free energy, and everybody argues over whether or not energy is free. Energy is free. We're surrounded by it, you know.
Hold on. You know why they didn't bring up no free lunch? Because there is a free lunch. It's called stealing from the guy smaller than you. While he worked, put it together. That's the only free lunch there is in this world, is when you steal something from somebody else.
The bear in the picnic basket. Is that what you're talking about, Thomas?
No, I'm talking about the government in your wallet.
Oh, well, yeah, well, they're also in your picnic basket,
nothing,
too.
They do nothing, okay? They take these massive vacations. They have all of their health care taken care of. They continue to get paychecks even when the government shut down, even though they're the ones that are actually shutting the government down. Yet they call out these single mothers who are on welfare as if they were, you know, dirty lowlifes for taking that free money.
Well,
who's really on welfare here?
Here's a concept to apply to that little deal right there. If you're encouraging the man not to be in the home with the children and to being the father of the children, then you're encouraging that woman to be in the need of having the welfare to begin with. Because
if she doesn't have one man helping her and she's, you know, disabled because she's actually having to run after, say, three-year-old to 5-year-olds, then she's got to have another man of some sort in her life. So why not Uncle Sam?
Yeah,
Don't worry, Uncle Sam will take care of you. You know,
Uncle Sam's got a harem, man. He's like,
don't worry about what kind of man you decide to procreate with. Just go ahead and have all the kids you want. Uncle Sam will take care of them.
Hey, you know
Good
what,
Uncle Sam?
I tell you what, if you can find Uncle Sam wherever he's at in this world, on the yacht or, you know, up in the mansion or something, I bet he's got a lot of bling in his teeth. He's got the gold teeth with the diamonds inside of them. He's got a whole bunch of bling around his neck.
Hold on. Let's not start, you know, stereotyping.
I can
guarantee you he's a fat, bald, white guy with gray hair then.
Well, he's got a lot of money, man. I mean,
and he might be wearing some gold, but I doubt he's got any gold in him unless there are, you know, fillings you can't really see or anything like that.
Oh.
He probably, whenever he's not on the yacht wearing the louder than life, you know, Hawaiian shirt, then he's probably running around in like a white tuxedo or something, you know.
Well, as long as he ain't in a mankini, we're all right. That's the apocalypse. My eyes.
Tom, how do you get a bald guy with gray hair?
Yeah,
Mr. Clean.
Well, because he was basically. Did I say a bald guy?
Yeah, you said a bald guy.
Hey, you can be bald on top.
I think you also put fat and dumpy in there.
In the back. He can have that wreath of hair.
I think you also put fat and dumpy in there.
If you can spit shine the top of his head and see your reflection, he's bald.
So... either way, Uncle Sam has got it, man. He's got everything he needs, you know?
And you know who gave it to him?
The people.
No.
Well, who did it?
More specifically, when it comes to what we just described, the feminists. Because according to the feminists, if you look at all that stuff, man is evil, woman good.
Well, Uncle Sam is evil.
Man violent, woman not violent. You know, there no woman or women are violent.
I don't know.
No woman has ever accosted a man. It's always been men accosting women, and when women accost men, he had to have done something.
I don't know, man. I've seen some pretty violent women in my time.
If a woman beats her children, well, she's just stressed out. It's the husband's fault because he ain't doing well enough for her. Man beats the children. Hey, there's no excuse. You don't lay hands on children.
But isn't that sterile? Well,
what's going on here, man? Why is the woman allowed to beat the children and gets an excuse, but the man isn't?
Isn't that...
And I don't think the men should get an excuse. I just don't think anybody should get an excuse to lay hands on a small child that had no choice in being born to you. You forced them into this world by your own actions. They are victims of your choices. That's right.
But isn't
you
that...
They owe you nothing.
You owe them.
Isn't that
stereotype in man, and the first portion of it, and then I'll get to the second portion, but isn't that stereotype in man there? Look, when we talk about deteriorating the family and turning everything upside down...
Hold on, that's exactly it. That's the whole point of feminism, is to stereotype now. I mean, it was all about equal rights whenever the first women started thinking, hey, look, man, this guy is not, you know, not the best guy, and most of these guys take advantage of the fact that they've got some control that we don't, but it's been turned into a political agenda now, and the women are being whipped up into a froth by the politicians. They're the ones funding all this so that they can create a welfare state where the world becomes dependent on them, so they can go ahead and stick their hands in the pockets of anyone that's working and take whatever they want. Because it's for the good of the children. It's for the good of the children. It's for the good of the children.
Yeah.
Those children that we caused the problem for.
And slinging that bomb from the drone is for the good of the children. See, this is the whole deal, folks.
Yeah, there's somebody, these children for the good of these children.
Hold on a second. There's somebody out there, some group of individuals out there literally stirring the pot of propaganda to such an extreme that they got the women against the men against the men, the churches against the churches. You know, that brings me back to the whole Paul Harvey thing. You know, Paul Harvey in 1965 did a skit called If I Were the Devil. All right, and he talks about pretty much everything we've talked about so far. He talks about a system that is literally degrading the home, putting dirtier movies on your TV, filled through your radios, and continuously keeping the people pitted against one another, black against white, Christian against Muslim, atheist against everybody, and so on and so forth. And so while down here at the bottom, we being the base of the pyramid, which is the people that is holding the beast up above our head, are literally running around fighting amongst each other while they're getting by with murder at the top and getting filthy, stinking rich doing so. These oil companies out there and the coal industries and all the pharmaceutical industries and the genetically modified foods and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's the power structure above your head that you're holding up. You're allowing these individuals, who are the minority of the world, basically have the control over your, not just your actions, but your thoughts, your families, everything that is decent about this world. You're allowing them to control you, putting mush into some kid's head, you know, teaching him witchcraft or whatever. You see what
many times these people aren't aware of any of what you just said as a whole. Okay, well, they say a little snippet here, they say a little snippet there, but most people don't have the ability to take this and this and put it together and get this.
Well, the folks
which is the picture you're painting, right?
The folks
This is why we need to push for a transparent government. This is why we need to... everything is capsized right now, okay? Public servants have the most private lives, and private citizens have the most publicly exploited lives.
Yep.
And we need to flip that over so that the private citizen can reclaim their privacy, and the public servant is now public domain.
Well,
I mean,
that's
we
the
get
key,
to see
man.
What they're doing. We know what's going on, and you don't get to hide behind those ivory doors and those pillars at the White House. What you're doing?
You want
to
find out
what you're doing at the local governor's office either.
You want to find out who's behind the scenes of the dirty deeds? Follow the money trail, man. It always goes back to
same
thing.
People will find a way to discredit things until it's publicly disclosed on the internet as video. Because nobody believes words. Nobody believes speech. That's why you can broadcast FM radio and it give you some leadway to broadcast radio as a pirate radio. Okay. You can go up to a full watt and broadcast over about a 1 mile radius around you. Okay, do you think that there's any limit that there's a limitation on how far you can broadcast video, say for channel 2 or channel 6 in your local neighborhood? No, you can't broadcast at all. If they see a signal at all coming from your house that's a television signal, they will arrest you immediately.
because people believe video. They don't believe audio.
Yep.
They don't believe written text. They believe video. So the only solution to this problem is for video feed from these corrupt politicians so they have nowhere to hide. We need to seal all the cracks and turn on all the lights and start stomping all the cockroaches.
Yeah, put the tracking chips in the government.
That's what I'm saying. If you're a public servant, public being the key word here, then your life is public. It doesn't matter what section of the government you're in, what tier of the government you're in, it's public. I don't care about it being broadcasted the second you do it, okay? Because there are some people like police officers that puts them in dire straits, because now anybody can find where they're at. But the second they come in, that video has to be broadcasted, and if they have even 5 minutes of that footage missing, they're arrested.
And you know what?
They're arrested, an inquiry is done, and if there's anybody claiming that their police officer was in the area that they were basically in before or after that time, or they could have got to during that time, it's an open shut case. You keep your camera on. It's plain and simple.
There's a phrase out there, my, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to first deceive.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, if we knew what these guys were doing and had, you know, video proof of what they were doing, it would be a lot easier to piece all this stuff together. You could grab all this stuff offline and start compiling together a documentary with no problem and thread the web you need to let people know what's going on this tapestry of what all these strings between these people are creating. So it wouldn't be safe for them to be making any deals at all. It'd be very unsafe. All it would take is for one thread in the chain of command to be exposed too. So even if they find a way to secret away what they're doing, they have to secret away every single aspect of it all the way through to into perpetuity. They can't stop hiding what they've done. The second they stop hiding what they've done, it all gets found out. And there comes in the second part. If you're caught doing wrongdoing, I don't care if it's 20 years after you got out of office, you still go to jail for it. If you did something wrong while you were in office, you still go to jail for it.
Yep. If they
none of this kicking them out of office. Jail time.
Yeah, but you're missing out on the whole diplomatic immunity thing, man. They figured that out.
No, I'm not. That's the whole point, is diplomatic immunity, just like the Federal Reserve, needs to be done away with. We need to shut both of those institutional beliefs down. This ability to create money from nothing needs to be shut completely down. If we're going to have money from nothing, if we're going to have fiat currency, it has to be completely open and transparent and voted on by the public when any new money is going to be created. That means they have to have the decision on whether any new money gets created. If new money is caught being created by the entity that's controlling it without the public's consent, the people who are running the system there go to jail. Plain and simple.
85 billion a month they've been printing for the last 5 years.
Well, you know
that's what I'm saying. All these people running the Federal Reserve would be in jail right now.
They'd
all be in jail. Throw them all in jail and take every last nickel they have anywhere they have it.
We got
because
to figure out
you can
something.
Guarantee they got it by ripping people off by manipulating the money supply. That means they stole that stuff they have out of your pocket and out of my pocket.
I agree, but we got to figure out something, because in this information war that's going on out here and the manipulation of humanity and all this stuff, we got something coming down the pipe down here that could very well make the difference of whether we go back to the Stone Age and start all over again, or a few elite get on their little arcs and then destroy the rest of the community out there. They're out there saber rattling right now with all your tax dollars and the potential of World War III, whether or not somebody actually wants to pull the trigger or whatever.
This is new?
Yeah, well, no, it's not new. It's hanging over our head, but it's a little bit more tense, you know, kind of like back during the Cold War episode, you know, where there's a communist behind every bush, and now it's there's a terrorist behind every bush. But the more people that are waking up, seems the more that they kick it into gear to try to maintain the power structure that it is. You know what I mean? So,
well, Tom, you can't start arresting people. You can't start arresting the senior executive of the Federal Reserve, because that would be classed as anti-Semitism.
We got to figure out a way by which to nip this in the bud before the whole World War III episode even begins. I mean, look during after 9/11, there's so much propaganda went across the TV set, and we had to go to war. We had to go to war. We're still at war, all right? Regardless of whether or not they want to call it that, we're still over there. We're everywhere, you know? And it's still going on.
That's not war. That's called empire.
Yeah. Well, it's messed up is what it is, because if you ask the average Joe's not even remotely interested in having an empire. They want to have their own nation, they want to defend their own nation, and they want to live in peace and live the dream. But, you know, how can you do that when every single time you take a breath, you got some sort of regulation that you're violating, such as the EPA saying that carbon emissions, CO2 is a toxic waste or whatever. It's coming out of your breath. So even the people at the doggone EPA are violating their own laws because they're breathing. You know? Got to tax them. Tax them on the sunlight, tax them on the breath, tax them on the water, tax them on the earth, tax them. There's some ludicrous going on, man.
I believe, like I said, you know, it's not death and taxes, it's taxed to death.
So there's at least the elite have a sense of humor.
They must.
I mean, who sets up a carbon credit exchange with the names of blood and gore, unless you've got a serious sense of humor?
Well, they're laughing in the faces of all the people, man. Literally.
Who's that? They've been doing it for centuries.
Yeah, but look, if there's ever going to be any kind of advancement for civilization into a realm of which the people are in charge, like they were supposed to be, you know, the Constitution says we the people, you know, we gave them the power because our initial rights came from our Creator according to the way that it was all set up. But we give them the power to control things to keep keep us protected from the knuckleheads out there who wanted to violate people. Well, that's what it sounds good in theory. I mean, heck, even communism sounds good in theory. Everybody's got what they need, that kind of stuff. What they don't tell you is that the guy in charge up there, he's got more than what he needs, and he's doing fine. And he will go out and oppress whoever he has to oppress in order to make sure that he is remaining fine, just like our own supposed representative republic.
There's the divisionary tactic, though. Communism will work just as well as capitalism will if you can get rid of human greed.
Well, there you go.
You're not going to get a capitalistic system that's going to work any better than a communist system. There's nothing any better about it if you don't get rid of that human greed.
Well, you know what? It almost makes anarchy sound good.
Well, and that's what it'll pretty much be within the elite structure if we have everybody wearing cameras up there and we can watch what they're doing whenever they're working on our behalf. That way we can make sure they're actually working on our behalf.
The last time the elections came round in the Republic of Ireland, I had the Socialist Party knocking on my door. And I asked them a very simple question. I said, if we're all going to be equal, who do I have to bribe so I can be more equal than everybody else?
I need to check some comments in the chat room down here. We've put a lot out there on the table. Stephen Gibbons has put a few things in there.
Make sure you got that Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse link out there, too.
Yeah, I put that out there. I'll put it in the Awake radio chat room and the Shaziz radio chat room. Stephen Gibbons put a few comments in there. Y'all have to go in and read some of the ones prior, but this latest one, it says, we need a new social agreement on law not enforced by priests. And somebody just put that link in there again and shot that past me again. Said, we need a new social agreement on law not enforced by priests. How about if the law is broken, we find out why they broke the law and fix the problem, the cause, not lock up the symptom showing us the problem. Does anybody understand what I just read?
Yeah, it's called basically keep pulling the baby out of the dirty bathwater and throwing the bathwater away.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like we're on the Titanic, man, and everybody's got their finger in a hole or propping up this crack in the wall over here and trying to... If you ask me, I think we need to just restart and start over fresh. Sometimes it's like this, man. If your house gets so doggone filthy that you just can't even tolerate it anymore, you go clean the house. You clean the house up, you get some sort of order going on again, and you start off fresh.
I know some people who don't clean house when something like that happens. Their mentality is just burn the house down and build a new house.
Yeah. Gavin Lee put it in the chat. He said, one volcanic eruption will cause more CO2 than a man in 100 years. And that's another part of the whole situation, is that the people, because they don't know something as simple as basic science, they will buy into anything that the mainstream media or the government tells them. Such as yesterday, I was laughing about NASA telling everybody that the world is running out of water. Man, I tell you what, they got a mental illness over there at NASA, and they are run by individuals who are basically like a 7-watt light bulb that's about to be on the blink or something like that. They're not too bright. The Earth is 3/4 covered in water. And, of course, you're going to have to work a little harder to build a desalination plant and catch up to all the water that's been drained out in the freshwater aquifers. But it's not like we're going to run out of water, you know. If you are a man in a boat and you're on the ocean of water and you die of thirst, that's, to me, in my mind, is nuts. Steve talked about a story yesterday where he said the man lived out there in the ocean for quite some time simply by eating fish. And he even mentioned eating the eyeballs, too. Ugh. But, you know, when is this doggone world...
A sheep's eyeball in many countries is considered a delicacy.
Well, in my country, it's just disgusting, man.
I know. I wouldn't be too keen on it myself,
but
you know, just because something
is just because another country thinks that something is a delicacy doesn't mean you should be eating it. I mean, somewhere in this world, human brains are considered a delicacy. You're going to go out and crack your brother's head open and start eating?
That's nasty, man. It's like eating monkey brains. If my brother, it'd be monkey brains.
Let me tell you a true story. I work for an American company, and every year I covered Thanksgiving.
Oh, this ain't going to have nothing in the bucket, is it?
No, there's nothing in the bucket here, but it's kind of poignant.
All right.
They said to me, oh, you've covered Thanksgiving for the last 5 years. And I said, well, to be perfectly honest, I don't really fancy celebrating the, you know, effective genocide of the indigenous population and throwing it in their faces every year by having a big party to celebrate the fact that you couldn't hack it on your own. And if other people hadn't fed you, you couldn't come back the next year with plague blankets and kill most of you.
Well,
and that's what it comes down to. I mean, the center of the universe is just in everybody's own mind.
You look at
the Batak tribe in Indonesia, in a place called Lake Toba. They put their culture into their architecture. And a Batak traditional house, its roof is curved on either end. Now, there's one end that's higher than the other, and they consider the higher end to be their children, because they're the future. And the parents are beneath the children in value.
Listen, guys, Jerry Springer is running the world, all right? And if you ain't figured that out yet, Jerry Springer is essentially the little instigator who's standing behind the scenes, who is propping up his camera because he knows it'll sell, and he is getting everybody to fighting and acting and showing their true colors, the corn-fed redneck against the racist whatever, you know, and keeping everybody all fighting amongst each other, and he's got the cameras rolling, And everybody else who's standing on the outside, who's not in the midst of the chaos, who's probably got a bunch of this stuff going on in their own personal lives, is they think it's a hoot. And so everybody's buying into all this stuff, and Jerry Springer's laughing all the way to the bank because he got everybody acting a fool and he's making money off of it. Does that not sound like the governments of the world? Seriously?
Well, it sounds like Judge Judy, to be perfectly honest.
Well, throw them all in there together. They're all pretty much feeding you what you want to see so that you'll keep on buying into all the crud.
Well, it's like I said with the WWE. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know who America currently hates.
Yeah. Well, according to everybody out there in the media, the world hates America, and America hates the Russians, and the Chinese hate the Americans, and everybody hates everybody. And as long as everybody's hating on each other, then, you know, the pot's stirred. We can keep the war machine going. We can keep the governments in control. The continuity of government and all that kind of stuff is secure. Police have a job security. The military has job security.
Yeah, they can basically get people to willingly give them their babies so they can keep grinding them up and greasing those wheels of that war machine.
Yeah.
Make sure the road in front of those tanks is paved with soft baby backs, you know.
I don't hate America, and I don't hate Americans. And most of the world don't hate America or Americans. They just wish they'd be a bit smarter.
Well, you know, Americans could say the same thing about all other nations. All other nations got... Every nation's got problems, all right? There's a lot of people out there that are mad because their own particular government's doing things that they don't like. And, you know... Where they have gun control in one area, they have knifings and bludgeon with blunt instruments and fist fights more prevalent because ain't nobody not got no guns. They use something like a hurley stick to slap each other upside the head with. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but they only do it one at a time, and they don't do it from 20,000 feet by some guy with an Xbox controller in Florida.
Well, yeah. There you go, man. Therein lies the whole deal, man. If everybody stops for a second and they step back and they look at the big picture, you can see that the ones out there who claim to be the representatives of the world to bring about democracy around the world, first off, everybody needs to get educated, including the congressmen and the senators and all the judges out there in the United States of America, because we're not a democracy. We've never, ever, ever been a democracy. We are a representative republic, and you going around telling everybody that we're a democracy is my first red flag to know that you're an idiot. You don't even know your own country's political system. You haven't even got a clue. You raised your little hand up there and you said, I swear an oath to uphold the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and then ever since then, you don't even read the bills anymore. You just sign them because your team said to do so. And you're selling your people down the river, and you're violating your oath of office, and then you're breaking all these laws that you're putting out there for the people. You're signing laws that say that you can tax the people, and yet you're not practicing what you preach. So you're not even doing your job as a representative republic. And you're going out there in public and telling the people out there that they are a democracy and we are spreading democracy around the world. Seriously?
Well, she is. When the Founding Fathers sat down, do you really think it was their intent to create a society that would dictate that 51% of the population could ban the other 49% from calling their son Trevor?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, one thing's for sure.
He decided no.
Regardless of whether they want to call their son Trevor or not, one thing's for sure, their intentions were not to put Jerry Springer in control. And that's essentially what's going on.
There's a big difference between a constitutional republic and a democracy. In a democracy, 51% of the population can vote to shoot anybody that calls their son Trevor.
Yeah.
But the Constitutional Republic has a set of documents that kind of everybody's agreed on that says, well, actually, no, the government can't do that because we wrote it down on a piece of paper and we expect them to abide by it.
That's right. And you hit another key point there, Steve, is that we are supposedly have all these different separation of powers. You've got the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch that are all supposedly separate. Then you have all the different things from the federal government all the way down to the state government, to the city governments, to the county governments, down into the townships and the villages, so that there is a continuous separation of power, a checks and balances system. And when you got individuals out there in the government trying to bring about a change to where they're now going to turn over the national sovereignty to a group of individuals such as the United Nations or international bankers, that is not continuity of government. If you got one group of individual that has the power to regulate all the way down to the local village itself, whether it be EPA-wise or any kind of ordinance-wise or anything for that matter. So the separation of powers intended by the founding fathers of the United States Constitution, those were there put into place so that the government could not get out of control, that one government could regulate the other side of the government by not allowing certain things. They gave Congress the power of the purse. They gave the Senate the power on their side, and so on and so forth. But now you've got the judicial branch trying to pass legislation, and they're not there. The judicial branch is only there to interpret the law.
They're not there to interpret it. They're there to uphold it.
No, that's the executive branch is there to enforce the law. The executive branch enforces the law. The judicial branch interprets the law, and the legislative branch makes the law. And that's where it's all getting twisted, because everything that is what it should be according to the founding fathers of the United States Constitution is going by the wayside, because now you've got other government agencies stepping over the toes of other government agencies and a Supreme Court that is allowing all this stuff to continue. The Supreme Court is supposed to be the last beacon of hope in order to ensure that these individuals out here stay within their bounds. And it's up to the people. Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. It means you have to keep your eye on everybody to make sure that you can hold on to your republic. When it comes down to where the judicial branch isn't doing their job and saying, no, you can't do this because it's outside of your authority there according to the Constitution. You've got a president of the United States out there writing executive orders, essentially creating laws that are going onto the book and essentially committing treason and holding two offices at the same time. And so our system of government, which is the representative republic, is in serious jeopardy right now. And when it comes down to the last line of defense, which is each and every individual of the United States of America, which is the actual militia itself, every able-bodied man, woman, and child is the militia. You are the militia. That's why they keep trying to go after the Second Amendment, because if they go after the Second Amendment, you, the people, have no chance against a militarized police force or a military in itself that is not supposed to use under the Posse Comitatus Act, is not supposed to be used against the people. But if all you got is pitchforks and ball bats going up against M16s and AR-15s or 14s or whatever the heck they are, Black Hawk helicopters and so on and so forth, you have no way to defend yourself against a tyrannical government. That's why they're trying to attack the Second Amendment, so that they can get control of everything under the sun. The whole corporate structure out there, the power structure, the way to keep the finances rolling in your direction is to ensure that the people can't never get above where they're at right now. To oppress the people, to ensure that their rights are gone. And once they abolish the United States Constitution via this TPP or TPA or whatever alphabet thing they're going to throw in there next, and that people have no authority to have a firearm to defend themselves, the last beacon of hope, the last stand of the people. And when the government gets out of control, that's why it was written in there, it is the people's duty to abolish said government and start off fresh.
Yeah, but Shazam, the whole concept of taxation is a punitive form of population control. Because if people have enough, you can't force them out to go and flip burgers in big McDonald's. Who's going to go out and flip burgers in McDonald's if they've got enough food, they've got enough water, and they've enough power to run their house?
Well, that's why they want to dumb you down. That's why they want to tax your breath. That's why they want to tax your solar panel. That's why they want to tax the wind. That's why they want to tax everything that could give you any kind of semblance of freedom, telling you you don't even own the property that you're standing on after you paid thousands of dollars for it, telling you that you don't own the mineral rights because the corporation behind the scenes that sold that property off initially to essentially lend you the property to stand on. If you find gold on your property, guess who gets it? It ain't you.
I heard a story about a woman, and I spoke to her myself. It was out in Texas, and she built a gas digester, and she was using cattle manure to produce gas to run her home. And because she disconnected herself from the main gas power system, right, the main gas supply to her house, the local sheriff turned up with a UN ordinance and evicted her from the property because the United Nations said her house wasn't fit to live in because she wasn't connected to a main supply. Well, that's insane.
Does anybody besides me see something wrong with that? There's been farmers over here that have been arrested for building ponds to collect water for their cattle. Does anybody besides me see something wrong with that?
Oh, but they're taking it out of the system, and you have to pay for clean water because it's running out. The idea that you collect it yourself using intellect and reason, well, you're stopping that going into the water table, and you don't own the water table because anything 1 meter below your land doesn't belong to you. Although they won't tell you who it belongs to, but that's not yours.
Well, they're going to say, but it's all for the betterment of the people. We got to make this a national reserve and controlled by the government so that it's safe for future generations. That's a big hockahooey, man.
It's called the common good.
Yeah.
Well, the common good. You know, they say that the only thing that's going to survive a nuclear war are cockroaches. But you tell me this, who's the first person in the bunker when they hit those red buttons?
Yeah, that's it. There's it. There it is. There's the arc. Yeah, the actions speak louder than words. If the government out there is building bunkers under the ground, and we know that in every single apocalyptic video out there, that it's always the government and select few that actually get on these arcs for the doomsday scenario to come about. If they're doing all of this on your dime, and they're telling you that you got to reduce your carbon footprint, while on your dime they're actually going out there spending thousands of dollars or millions of dollars for drills such as Jade Helm, and they're out there saber-rattling, which could literally lead into the Third World War, which would be an all-out nuclear conflict. Guess who's going to be standing out there in the middle of their own yard with a catcher's mitt to catch that thermonuclear device when it lands in your yard? Anybody? Number nine? Number nine? Am I the only one that gets it?
And they've worked pretty hard to detooth the entire and declaw the entire nuclear armament of the world, because even the people who basically are holding the nuclear missiles are afraid of them. That's why we haven't had an all-out world war yet. When they manage to push all those nuclear weapons out of the way, and they find another way that basically won't tear the landscape up, so that when they come up out of their bunkers, there's somewhere safe to live and clean water to drink. It's not all irradiated.
Hey, Thomas.
Then you're going to see another third world war.
Thomas, do something for me. Bueller?
Well, Ferris Bueller.
You remember Ferris that? Bueller?
Yep.
Bueller? You guys are so intelligent that it's gotta be aggravating to even have this conversation, man. It really does. Because, you know, if guys like us can sit around from all over the planet and we can have common sense discussions such as this right here, you gotta know that the individuals up there probably had a few conversations of their own. Hey, how can we get these guys out here to do what we want and regulate this and make some more money kind of thing? Am I wrong?
Well, Shaziz, in 2008, there's a few people in the Republic of Ireland got into quite a lot of trouble because they started pointing out that when you enter public service, you swear an oath. And when you swear an oath, you're actually below a sovereign citizen. Because a sovereign citizen has sworn an oath to nothing.
Yeah, and therein lies why it used to say on the side of the police cars to serve and protect.
Yes. And these people were quite vocal about pointing out that we don't work for the government. They're our employees. Even a High Court judge is in a lower standing than the guy that sweeps the streets. Because the judge has signed an oath and has limited his potential actions and ability because he has agreed to something that the average sovereign hasn't. So you are not beneath a High Court judge. He is subservient to you. You are not subservient to him. Because you are sovereign. And that got a few people that were quite vocal about saying that into a lot of trouble. Because that is not what a government wants people to be talking about on public and national media, regardless of what form, shape or communication method they're using. But to remind people that the government are there to serve us. We are not there to serve them.
And that's the key, man, because everybody thinks we got to put it all in the government's hand. Everything's got to be controlled by the government. If you don't like what your neighbor's got in his yard, if your neighbor has an American flag hanging off the side of his house and you don't like it, then you got to ask the government, which is your homeowners association, to lodge a complaint against this individual. And you know there's actual money involved in this situation. The homeowners association, you sign a contract with them that says that you can be fined by the homeowners association for not having your lawn right or the color of your house right and this and that. Well, the same thing, we got a massive homeowners association such as the United States government and all the governments of the world who are sitting here telling you, no, you can't have this over here, no, you can't have that over there. You know, you see what I'm saying?
It's a homeowners association based on profit. The people get salaries for it, but they get paid to do it.
Well, I'm sure that the ones in the know of the homeowners association have figured out how to benefit, and you know, membership has its privileges and such, right? The yacht club.
Well, there's a really simple solution to that. Is these contracts come up for renewal? So don't sign it. Can you get evicted from your house for saying, well, actually, no, I don't agree with this anymore, so I want no part of it. You do what you want to do, lads, but this is my house. You didn't pay for it. And it's part of any club. Any club you can join, you can leave. So if you've signed a contract with your local homeowners association, resign.
Yep.
You're not a slave.
That's it.
Are they honestly telling you that 20 years ago you signed to join a homeowners association and you are subject to that for the rest of your existence?
It all comes down to choice, man.
Send them a letter and it just has to have one line on it saying, I quit.
Well, can we call the government up? Can we call the government up and say we quit?
Well,
yeah, good luck with that. Remember what I said before about a couple $1,000 just to exit the country.
Yeah, that's what I was getting
officially.
At. Officially.
If you really want to do something about that, you really need to buckle down and prepare to basically sacrifice everything you've got here come together with a group of people that you know are like-minded. That means you're going to have to run through a hazing period to make sure that they're going to be safe to live with in close proximity, because you're going to have to rely on each other to do this, and then you're going to have to get busy building an island. Either that or save up enough money you can go buy an island somewhere and move off the continent.
So, didn't the Davidians try that in Waco?
I said an island. I didn't say go somewhere else in the country. You got to leave the continent. You got to leave the continent.
But this is what I'm saying. I mean, people have already tried to do that in the continent, and it hasn't worked out too well for them.
Right, and I didn't say in the continent, did I? I said an island. International waters. Nobody has any law over it. You're going to have to become your own law at that point, and that includes protecting yourself against international water pirates. Some of those are funded by the U.S. and other countries like that, you know.
You know.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Guys.
They wouldn't do that.
They
wouldn't do that.
There was a time in history, there was a time in this country's history where you could die for free, man, and pay the undertaker a dollar or two to bury and that kind of stuff. Nowadays, you can't even die for free because Uncle Sam's got his hand in your piggy bank that would have been the inheritance to your children, and the doggone funeral industry's got tens of thousands of dollars in the other pocket of the survivors so that you can get buried. You can't even die in peace around here anymore. What in tarnation's going on, man?
Yeah, I was going to say $5,000 for like a 50-pound rock to be set over your head.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, it is. They wanted you to be buried in a lead-lined coffin because once your body degrades, it pollutes the earth. And then they found that lead was actually quite dangerous. So now you can't even be buried in a lead coffin, even though it was the idea at the time.
They'll start deciding to make you pay for antimony lined coffins next, because that's what they replaced all the lead in the solder with.
it's like a comedy of errors. Every now and again they come up with a new really interesting idea because some politician's cousin has started a new business and he wants to get a few customers. So they
Hey, you were talking about polluting the environment, right? They don't bury you in lead coffins now. They're pushing for everybody to be cremated. Cremated.
Yeah, but
that means burn them until they're not even ash left and put that all in the atmosphere.
Great.
The average
what was that about carbon footprint?
Yeah. Well, hey, if there's any consolation to that, Thomas, at least you'd get the last laugh, because whenever they did put you up into the atmosphere, if there is a such thing as global warming, you're going to contribute to it.
The average temperature of a crematorium is roughly 14,000 degrees Celsius. That's what it takes to reduce.
And I'm wondering how much carbon that's producing to produce that heat, too. Because we're not talking about just putting you into the atmosphere. Now they're putting all the energy it takes to put you into the atmosphere, to raise that temperature to put you in the atmosphere.
Oh, but then you have to have carbon scrubbers in the ship.
How much carbon did those end up basically burning up and putting into the atmosphere to make them? Everything takes energy, and guess what? We use oil for most of that energy.
Much as is. And not yourself, I mean, you both got a couple of good ideas, and now we don't need it. But we're kind of persuaded that we're addicted to it. That we can't live without it. There'll be no tires on cars, there'll be no fuel for engines, there'll be no lubricants for manufacturing processes.
Well, that's just it, though. The technology is here that we can have all those things without the negative side effects.
Somebody's still
making too much money off the current system, and they don't want to have to pay to build the new system to produce that stuff. So somebody else has to come out and do it.
All right, looking.
What about a business?
Look at here. All right, this is all madness. I'm gonna say this. All right, this is the way I'm gonna go out. Alright, as soon as I croak out, I want somebody to turn me into biofuel and take a vacation and cruise all over the planet and just have a good old time at my expense. Because, I mean, you want to talk about a slapstick comedy of epic proportions. All you got to do is step back and watch this world in action.
That's only a step away from some of the cannibal practices where they basically sit down and they consume their loved ones so they don't basically leave them.
That's disgusting, man.
Well, to be perfectly honest, Shaziz, if you expect us to be able to travel all around the world on your remains, you want to get a few more Hungry Man meals in here, because, to be perfectly honest, you're kind of a bit of the scarecrow out of the wizard.
All right, well... Yeah,
we need the oil and the fat, and you don't have much fat.
I'll start stocking up. I'll eat some Cowboy Billy baked beans and everything else I can get down me before I croak. But in the meantime, man...
You would be lucky if we go back to Denver.
I'm telling you, probably lucky to get around the block. All I'm saying is, man, you want to talk about a slapstick comedy of epic proportion, just step back and watch what's going on in this world out here. It hurts my brain to think about this stuff because, man, the lack of common sense is just insane. I mean, here we want, well, everybody wants to be free, but nobody wants to get up and free themselves, you know? It's like this.
Hey, that sounds an awful lot like everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Yeah, there you go, man. Look, all I can say is we got to get our act together, man. Because whether you're a spiritual person that believes in prophecies or anything like that, or whether you're just a actual person out there with common sense that has no spiritual beliefs or whatever, all you got to do is step back and look at the big picture and to understand, to contemplate on everything that you've witnessed in your lifetime and understand that we're going down a path that is messed up. And people aren't free. You're not free whenever you buy your property and you have to keep paying taxes on it. You're not free whenever you buy a car and you have to keep paying for that car forever and a day, but whether it be via insurance or licensing fees, you got to have a license to do anything. You want to start a business? You need a license. You got to go through governmental red tape to do anything, and yet they're all out there trying to say, we're out there for the people. We're going to get these corporations to help these people out there. We're going to get jobs, all right? Get jobs! You guys said it best whenever you talked about teaching somebody how to farm, you know, or instead of just taking them a fish when they were hungry, take them a fishing pole and teach them how to fish. That kind of thing. You see what I mean?
Yep. To be perfectly honest, Chiz, I'm quite happy no longer living in the United States of Europe. Because when somebody tells me that I need to ring them every Friday... Because, I mean, my wife is a good Catholic woman, and it did say in the Bible, thou shalt eat fish on Friday. But when I built an aquaponics system in my home, with the prime reason to feed my family, I'm supposed to ring a government quango, not even a government agency, but somebody that's been licensed by the government to protect fish health. Every time one of these fish dies, I'm supposed to ring them up and say, yeah, we grilled it this week, we broiled it last week, and next week we're having a barbecue, and it was kind of tasty, you know, guys. Because they have the authority over all fish. Who are you kidding? It's absurd.
Well, the property that I'm standing on...
I need to produce for my family in my own land, through my own intellect and ability, I don't need permission from anybody to do so.
That's
right. The fact that they're pushing the idea that you need permission to feed yourself and your family.
That's right. Absurd. The property that I'm standing on belongs to my creator, and I have the authority to use it and be the caretaker of it. And so with that said, I don't care what the government says. I already got permission to use my own property, and I'm going to use it as long as I'm alive, and I'm not going to comply. You know, I do not consent to stupidity.
If you could take it with you, the British Museum wouldn't be full of dead stuff the Egyptians left behind.
Yeah, that's the whole deal.
The dead Egyptians left behind. Hey, you can't take it with you.
There wouldn't be any crown jewels either, because every generation would be taking whatever they came up with.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what.
Allow a religion to control us.
When you build your stairway to heaven and slip on the banana peel of life and break your neck as you get to the bottom of there, the government will protect you, man. That's all I can say.
They're a religion.
Well, you can say that, because essentially that's how it's all about. But see, this stuff out here about religion being the whole downfall of mankind is just ignorance, because religion wasn't the downfall of mankind. Mankind was the downfall of mankind, because mankind decided to allow some people to infiltrate all different types of organizations. Whether it be the feminist deal over there, which is now political, you know, it may have started off for women's rights, and now look where it's gone. The whole racial issue, that you may have started off for rights and everything, you see how that's gone. Government's put the Indians on reservations out there that they shouldn't even have been on to begin with. They were the indigenous people should be able to wander the land, and all the land belonged to everybody out there. But now they got these things going on, and they got rules and regulations in there. Does anybody see a trend going on here? It's happened to the Japanese. It's happened to the Irish. It's happened to the American Indians. It's happened to the African Americans. It's happened to the Spanish people, and so on and so forth. Every single race, religion, and color out there has all been treated the same exact way by those at the top who figured out a way to manipulate the system to not only earn money, but to keep you down. Keep you stupid. Keep you in control. Put a little tag on your ear like cattle and say, I know where number 222 is at. You know? He's behaving himself over there, but that old 333 over on the other side, he's talking about freedom again. We need to take control of that. FCC, well, anybody?
How can we call ourselves an elevated society when you persuade religious institutions to take the status of a charity and you enforce your opinion with violence if necessary?
Well, on there you go. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. I'm anti-ignorance. NASA coming out there with their mental illness and anti-manipulation. NASA coming out there with their ignorance and telling the people of the world that, the world's running out of water. Really? And then you go in there and you say something totally against what NASA just said, and then you got some little zit-faced geek behind a keyboard coming out there calling you a retard, saying, oh, well, he's talking about fresh water, retard. Really? Go over there and talk to those people in Dubai who not only built the land that they're standing on, but also built huge desalination plants, and they got plenty of fresh water, and California's over there boo-hooing about how they're in a drought. Meanwhile, on my side of the planet, it's raining with cats and dogs. It's been raining for well over 40 days and 40 nights. You go out there and step in the grass, and you're going to go up to your neck in mud. I'm turning into the swamp zone over here. And then you got companies out there that advertise that they do geoengineering, while you got the mainstream media calling you a nuthead because you're talking about chemtrails. Then you got people out there releasing genetically modified moss and creatures out there into the world. And you got people out there modifying doggone fruits and vegetables. And if you talk about that stuff, you're a nutcase. Well, wait a second. If I'm seeing it, I am not supposed to talk about it, because if I talk about it, then that means I'm a nutcase. So where in there lies the common sense of the whole situation? The United States of America is a representative republic, not a democracy.
Listen. The reason why I can guarantee, doing a little digging, I found basically the reason that they're going on about water supply with NASA, the potable, drinkable water supply, right, is because what they're seeing is that we need better technology, because we have a growing population and we need more fresh water to clean up the mess, not only to clean up water to clean water so people can drink it, but to clean water that was already clean before companies came along and destroyed it.
Well, therein lies make the companies pay for it.
They're poisoning water. Well, no, that's just it, though. They're expecting the government to give them a bigger cut to work on technology, because that's what NASA does. They work on technology, they work on science, and they're mad because they keep cutting their budget lower and lower. I mean, that's why we don't have a particle accelerator here. We had one, and they cut the funding to it and let the Europeans take over. So now, not only are we not you know, studying science in the physics realm, we're not doing it in astronomy either, because we don't have a shuttle program anymore.
Well, speaking,
we have to hitch a ride with the Russians and the Chinese to get into space now.
Yeah. Are we fighting with the Russians, or isn't?
America, well, I was going to say that's Russia. The thing is, we are no longer
with their buddy.
A technologically advanced society as far as NASA is concerned, because we're not doing these things and we're not funding those things, and they're mad for the same reason you are about them funding all these wars, mostly because they figured that they should be funding science and whatnot that's going to push forward peaceful solutions to help people, rather than wasting money to go kill people.
All right, well, speaking of science and to be awake and aware, okay, I said this yesterday on a show when we talked about the ludicrousy of the blue gold, the water wars to come and such. All right, in 1984, I was sailing on a United States Navy vessel, and I learned that when we leave port, before we leave port, we fill our freshwater tanks completely to the rim. Then we drive out to sea, and after a while, the 650 pounds per square inch boilers and the 1,200 PSI per square inch boilers have to have fresh water. No ifs, ands, or buts, because salt water will destroy them very rapidly because of the heat involved. So what we had to do was, when we got down low on our fresh water, we had to start pumping salt water out of the ocean. And then that salt water was desalinated and turned back into fresh water so that we could actually keep running the boilers and have fresh water and take showers and drink and so on and so forth. So if the technology was available in 1984 and the people in Dubai figured it out, the people in the United States could figure it out, there should not be any reason for droughts. There shouldn't be anybody over in Africa dying of thirst. It's crazy. I didn't call it mad science for nothing. It's just flat out ludicrous. You ain't teaching the kids science in school because it's insurance liability. You can't teach them how to mess with chemistry or anything like that. You wouldn't want them thinking for themselves because they might hurt somebody. You can't teach them about the truth of science out there because you got to tell them about the global warming, because these are the future carbon taxpayers.
Well, sure is. How much do you think a bottle of Coca-Cola would cost if the company had to basically pump seawater into their factory and desalinate it themselves, rather than use the taxpayer-funded infrastructure?
I got one better than that for you, Steve.
Water.
I got one better than that for you. Anybody who ain't aware that they don't call it soda for nothing because it has carbonated water in it? How many of you individuals out there are going to buy a $57,000 glass of cola that doesn't have any fizzies in it? What about your flat beer? You want to drink flat beer?
In fairness, this beer gets its carbonation from a combination of yeast and sugar.
But is there no carbonation in there? Is it not CO2?
Yeah, but that's kind of perfectly acceptable because it's working class people stupid.
All right, everybody, that's it. I'm throwing down the gauntlet right now. Old King Shaziz the Terrible is putting out a decree out there. Everyone under the guise of global warming / climate change / climate disruption and whatever it's going to be next week, when you get your soda, I want you to shake that up and release all that carbon into the air and enjoy your time while you can, because from this point on, I'm outlawing soda with fizzies in it. You're drinking flat soda, you're drinking flat beer, flat carbonated water.
Could you imagine a bunch of crusty hippies protesting outside the Miller Brewery? Because they're producing hundreds of thousands of gallons of CO2-infested water.
Yeah!
Every year.
When you got your glass sitting there and those CO2 bubbles are rising in there, what are they doing, man? It's going out of that glass.
get out there and start protesting outside your local brewery, because they are really dangerous, creating all that CO2 to put bubbles in beer.
All right, that's it. All right, no, this has become a dictatorship. Y'all ain't eating no fried chicken. You ain't eating no pork chops. You ain't eating no steak. From now on, it's rice cake and flat sodas for you.
And all you cattle farmers out there in Texas, you need to go and put a gun in it. They're seriously damaging. I mean, the fact that there's 3 million less buffalo than there were in the time of Buffalo Bill. You want to give them a prize as well.
If it's flat soda, why not just go ahead and make them all drink soda syrup, no water?
Yeah, there you go, because we got that. You hit it, Thomas. That was brilliant. You saved the planet because we've got to conserve on water. All you get is syrup and rice cakes. Enjoy. And don't you try to cook that rice cake. Don't toast it. You're using up electricity.
That's white man's electricity, that is.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. And if you try to use roast your rice cake with a Bic lighter, we're going to send the jackbooted thugs over there to not only jack your jaw, but tax you on it and throw you up in jailhouse. We ain't playing.
Oh, we're really getting ourselves into trouble now, aren't we?
Well, I'm just saying, man. It's got... Come on. When you step back and you look at this, anybody with common sense can say that these guys out there aren't either they had too much lead paint back in the 60s or too much what they used to call the hippie weed back in the day.
Jimson weed?
Yeah. Either had some of that or too much LSD or whatever, but for whatever reason, their critical thinking is just off the scale beyond the lower limits of stupid and ignorance, because, you know, they're going to come out there with a serious look on their face and tell you about, we got to get this CO2 under control. We got to tax people on that. What are they going to do with the tax dollars? Well, let me point this out for you for a second. So far, what they've done with the tax dollars is that chuck hole that busted the rim on your car the other day, my tax dollars put that chuck hole in the road, all right? That raggedy old infrastructure that keeps going down and shutting your computer off or your TV while you're watching Dancing with the Stars, my tax dollars helped to supplement that deal over there. My tax dollars also helped to take the bombs over there and drop them on some foreign nation, knocking them into the third world status. And now we got a refugee problem going on that my tax dollars is going to have to go over there and try to resolve. All right, so what your tax dollars have done for you thus far is a mess. So if your tax dollars are creating a mess, then you want to keep on paying your tax dollars. If you don't pay your tax dollars, guess what happens?
You pointed it out, man. There it is. The CO2 problems, the water problems are all because of taxes. So we got to tax these people for the taxes.
Yeah.
When you pay your taxes, you have to pay a tax on your tax so we can use that to clean up this mess.
And here's...
It's caused by your taxes.
It gets even worse than that. It gets even worse than that because once the government taxes you, you got the undertaker who's at the doggone funeral home who's scoping out your gold tooth and your ring and stuff like that when the family's all gone because he ain't making enough money already by charging your family $10,000, which some of that goes to taxes because he's got to pay taxes on everything that he does. Now he's got to get his kid to college, so he yanks out your gold tooth and the diamond earring and the jewelry that your family thinks you're getting buried with and rolls on down the road in his Rolls Royce, pays his carbon taxes.
Here is the article in the Huff Business Post dated June 21st, 2015, which kind of made me laugh because, you know, they've got that kind of horticultural interest going on in Denver, Colorado. The headline here is Colorado may have to refund as much as $30 million in pot taxes. Because those people in Colorado have decided that, you know, they've an affinity for Mary Jane's Special Blend.
Oh, now, man.
An article I come across about 6 months ago claimed that they produced something along the lines of 14 tons in the last 12 months from regulated businesses.
Can I
don't think Colorado was sunk into the sea yet. It hasn't gone the way of Atlantis and it imploded and disappeared.
Can I ask you guys to do me a favor? Seriously?
Yes, ma'am.
I need some therapy, serious therapy. So what I need to do is I need you guys to figure out some sort of organization that you can put together, like some sort of therapeutical deal, because I feel seriously mentally raped by society and the government in general, because my mind is just like spinning in an astronomical circle, and if I don't get some sort of therapy from some sort of source or whatever, then my mind is going to implode on itself, because it's kind of like I'm standing here, if I ain't bald-headed today, I probably will be tomorrow, because I'm pulling the hair out by the fistfuls, because it drives me flat out insane to listen to the mainstream media and to listen to the government's propaganda, and even in the alternative media.
I've got the perfect therapy for you. You go outside, quiet day, sit down in the field, and enjoy not listening to any of it.
That's a good idea. I'm going to do that.
Work on what you can do in your corner of the world and stop letting all these problems that you're listening to stop you from solving what problems locally you can solve.
Good advice. And I'm going to start that. And I will give you my my report of how better I feel after I do that. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do what they call grounding. I'm going to take my shoes off and stand in the grass and become one with nature and breathe.
What, like rolling around in the snow in your underpants?
Well, there's some societies in which you might not want to walk barefooted in the grass because of either,
Look, Shazuz, it's Father's Day. If you want to go out in your 14 acres in your star-spangled banner mankini, even with the neodymium magnets on,
But Steve, there's a problem with that.
You need to do to touch base with Mother Earth and lose some of this stress and maintain your follicle arrangement.
Steve, there's a problem with that. I'm trying to, as a father, I'm trying to maintain the family structure, and if I blind my children and mentally scar them for life, then I won't have a family. So I'm going to, if it's all right with you, just go out there in my regular duds and not subject them to that.
Go out there in whatever you feel most comfortable in.
Yeah, but in 14 acres you can get lost.
Alright guys, well, this has been a wonderful show, but we gotta go because we're actually going to run over, because I've got to play at least a couple things right here. I want to play Paul Harvey on there, and I want to play Molly Hatchet Flirting with Disaster, because I see that is what humanity is doing. Alright, and folks out there, if you like what you've heard on the Knights of the Round Table, I'm going to upload this one to the Auto DJ so that whenever there ain't a live show, you'll get to hear this one again. But if you like what you've heard on this show and you want to join in, it's easy. Just make a phone call in through Skype or join in the chat room, become an honorary Knight of the Round Tables, or become one of the Knights of the Round Table. It's your platform out there. Share it with your social media networks and tell people that there are other individuals, even if it's a crazy mad hair science guy with a couple guys from different around the world that have their own unique qualities as well. But it's all brilliance when you're talking common sense, which we're lacking these days, and it's ludicrous. But either way, if you like what you've heard here on the Knights of the Round Table, please share it with everybody. And you guys got something you want to tell everybody before we jump up out of here with a couple things? Anybody? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. You might chip a tooth. Brilliant, guys. We still got to get that Google Hangout going. I tried to get everybody together here a while back, but I guess my timing and your timing was different, but we'll work it out somehow. Anyway, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to play you up out of here with a little bit of Paul Harvey, some Molly Hatchet Flirting with Disaster, and then our Constitutional Peasants and Knights of the Round Table. We got to do that. That's a must. All right. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines in all the scenes with bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the terrible. Always routine, fulfills the terrible in the Knights of the Round Table.